driving forward, diving to the goal line. A touchdown and a title for the Patriots.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. And a silver trophy is coming back to New England.
You're listening to the Naked Bootleg Podcast with Evan Lazar and Adam Kirkchen.
This is unequivocally the sweetest.
Welcome into another edition of the Naked Bootleg Podcast presented by the Boston Herald. Evan Lazar here, as always, with Adam Kirkchen. And Adam, the Patriots made a trade on this Saturday afternoon as we are taping. And it looks like a kind of interesting one. But first, we are going to preview the running backs of this draft class in just a little bit here. And we're going to go position by position through the draft the rest of the way here. Last week we did one on quarterbacks with Mark Schofield. So please go and check that out before the draft comes around, because it was really good stuff. And Mark is one of the best quarterback guys around. So go and check that out, and we'll get to running backs in a little bit here. But first, let's start with the Danny Shelton trade. And what were your impressions when you saw this one come through?
I thought it fits for the Pats, because Shelton, look at the guys that they're losing. I mean, Branch is gone. Ricky Jean-Francois is gone. They need somebody there. Valentine's coming off an injury. So there's a need. So I would think that with all the holes they need to fill in the draft, it would make sense to get a defensive tackle now. And I think this is a good thing that they did. I think Shelton's a solid player. I liked him coming out of college, and I think it's going to be another one of those examples where they take a guy who's doing okay for someone else, and he really shines here.
Yeah, I agree. So the final terms of the trade, just to put this out there, were the Patriots get Danny Shelton and a 2018 fifth-round pick, and the Browns are going to get the Patriots' 2019 third-round pick. So the Patriots actually add Shelton, and they add a pick in this draft that I think is going to be pretty valuable, because there's a lot of depth in this draft, and especially right on early day three, that could turn into another piece that the Patriots, another asset, obviously. So yeah, I agree with everything that you said. He's kind of their Alan Branch replacement, a little bit younger than Branch, does some similar stuff to him though. My question with Shelton is he was the 12th overall pick in the draft just a few years ago. Is there better football in him than what we have seen in Cleveland? Like, he's been solid in Cleveland and really has just been kind of a nose tackle, run stuffer type guy. But coming out of college, a lot of people thought that maybe he had some quickness and some agility to him that he showed on tape to rush the passer. So maybe there is better football in him, and maybe the Patriots can bring it out in him. And the good thing about it is it is a system fit. He's going to fit that run stopper, lane clogger role very well as a two gapper inside. So maybe, a better role, more defined role will help him, kind of take that next step in the pros.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, do you have the exact height and weight measurements on the guy off the top of your head? He's a big dude, right? I mean,
he's 340 pounds, about 6'2".
Yeah, so I would think that once he comes to the Pats and they get on hit their conditioning system, that he slims down just a little bit. I'm not saying he's going to lose 30 pounds. I'm just saying that they're going to get him a little bit leaner. And maybe that's where you see him pick up a little quickness, because they have a strength and conditioning system that works. So I think, he can maybe, sort of possibly add a little bit of that, that spark from a quickness perspective. But, really what he's going to give them at a base minimum in terms of being a gap stuffer is sort of all they really need right now out of that position, I would think. Obviously there's more glaring needs right now after this trade. So, you know, you still need a linebacker, you know, and stuff like that. So, so I think what they did here was they took something off the table from this draft that they would have needed. And I agree with you on the picking up the extra pick, that it's pretty valuable because, that, you know, this draft, I know we both agree, has some depth to it, especially at certain positions, including the position that we're going to preview today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, get right into it now. Good segue, Adam. and you know, it's in the fifth round of this draft, you could be looking at a running back that might not be, you know, a Saquon Barkley type game changer, but he's going to be a guy that can come in and contribute on day one. And really, this running back class is absolutely stacked. I mean, there's six or seven running backs at the top, especially that I would think will go in the top 100 that are game changers. You know, guys that can really come in here and make a difference and be factor backs. And I just look back at that draft last year, and I'm not trying to, you know, shit on the Pats pick or anything like that, but they took Derek Rivers at 83. Kareem Hunt went at 86. So, you know, it's one of those situations where they've kind of passed on running backs. They haven't picked a running back in the draft since James White. They've kind of zigged where everybody's zagged, and they've gone the free agency route the last couple of years. But maybe it's about time to take one of these studs, because honestly, every team, it seems like, you know, has a chance at least to get one of these guys at this point, you know. And the Saints picked up Alvin Kamara, the Chiefs picked up Kareem Hunt, you know, we can go down the line here. So with Deion Lewis and Rex Burkhead set to hit free agency, I think this was a bigger need maybe than, or could turn into a bigger need than maybe people were expecting, because everybody's focus is so heavily on the defensive side of the ball and improving stuff over there. But let's start at the top. And what we're going to do is we're going to give you five or six guys, and we're going to try to spread it out as best as we can to hit some guys in different areas of the draft. But let's start at the top with our number one guy right here, who is kind of, you know, has varying opinions on him depending on who you ask. But a lot of people are really high on Darius Geis from LSU, who I like a lot too. But the guys at PFF don't even have him in their top five. So it's kind of like, it depends on who you ask.
Yeah. He's another LSU guy that I've been following since high school. So, you know, I think there's a couple things you have to know with guys. He had a very nagging ankle injury his junior year, the same way Leonard Fournette did. And that affected his output. He still had 5.3 yards per carry with that injury. He's a really tough back. I know some people liked him at LSU better than Fournette, which tells you how much. I mean, he broke a lot of records. Last year when Fournette was down, Geis had a tremendous year. I think he averaged over 7 yards a carry. And so this is a guy who runs different than Fournette, okay? Like Fournette is more of a, like a physical specimen type, whereas Geis, he's not quite as big, but he's incredibly shifty. It's hard to get your paws on him, and when you do, he likes to run you over too. He's a physical guy, and he has a way of making guys miss in very small spaces that can be very conducive to being a successful NFL back. He dances a little bit, but when he plants his foot and goes, he's very fast. So I think, you know, if he's healthy, you know, if his ankle is okay, he's almost right up there with Barkley. He's closer to Barkley than he is to some of the guys behind him, I think. Now, a lot of people think he's going to drop, so he could be there at 31. Now, I really doubt the Pats take a running back with that first pick, but he's the type of guy that's good enough that you could say, okay, well, he didn't hit the need that they were looking for at, you know, say linebacker, but this is such a good player that you've got to you can look at it and not think that it's just a terrible pick, because he's really that good in my opinion.
Yeah, I saw a guy that ran with a ton of anger, a ton of after the contact ability. I mean, this guy was like a yak machine. I mean, he would beast mode it sometimes, yeah. Take four or five guys with him. For a guy his size, I was really surprised to see that. You know, I expected to see a guy with a little bit more wiggle and a little less of that, but instead he's kind of like a faster dude that also kind of runs over guys. Yeah. So it's an interesting combination. And the other thing that I noticed right away was just that he can be a weapon as a receiver. And I think a lot of these guys, if you're going to take a running back early, we had this discussion at work with Saquon Barkley, is if you're going to take a running back that early, then he's got to add something in the passing game. He can't be a one-dimensional back. And right. I think Geis definitely does do that. I mean, they split him out in the slot a little bit. They threw to him out of the backfield. He's a decent route runner for a running back at this point of his career. So that's intriguing as well. The one thing I wanted to ask you about was that I didn't see like elite burst, you know, like he's not a guy that when he hits the hole, it's, you know, hit one cut and go, or put your foot in the ground and go. Now, before the injury, maybe that would have been a little bit different. And yeah. And he's kind of like one of those guys where you have to evaluate two different seasons of tape. You got to look at 2016 and 2017 pre and post injury. So the question is, you know, really what a team is going to be banking on the fact that he returns to that 2016 form, where you're right. I mean, he might have been better than Leonard Fournette. I know that PFF gave him a higher grade than they gave Leonard Fournette last year. So, you know, there's a lot of people that thought that he was better, just at least for that season. So, and then at the combine, he ran a 4.49. So it looks like he's all right you know, in terms of his health. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, what do you think? Do you think that he has like enough, you know, burst and ability to hit that hole hard enough to kind of make it?
I think when he's healthy, for sure. I've seen him get caught a couple times, but he usually doesn't get caught from behind, especially in 2016. He never really got caught from behind. He just had that way of just, you know, sort of extending past guys. And I really do think it comes down to the ankle. I mean, but, you know, you look, I mean, he ran a 4.49. At the combine, that's faster than Dalvin Cook ran last year. That's faster than Leonard Fournette ran last year.
Faster than Alvin Kamara ran last year, too.
Yeah. So I think if you're going by that, then sure. He has the necessary burst. And also, I think that even when he didn't have the burst this year, he was still very effective. It's not like he was running a 4.7 out there. So, he's so effective in that first 10 to 15 yards in terms of making guys miss, running guys over, you know, like you said, yards after contact. He's tremendous when it comes to that. He just hates going to the ground. There was a really good feature on him in the Baton Rouge Advocate done by Ross Dellinger when he was, first at LSU, and, you know, just how he's always, when even in youth football, he would just never like hitting the ground. So like, even when he's out of bounds, somebody tries to take him down, he tries to stay up. So so he's a tremendous back. You mentioned his receiving. Yeah, in fact I don't think they threw it to him enough when he was at LSU. They don't really throw to their backs well, and I also think he could get a little better as a blocker. He's a willing blocker, right? Okay, so that's one thing, but I don't think he's necessarily refined enough as a blocker yet to step in at the NFL level and totally be a stud. When it comes to that, I think that's one of the biggest adjustments for any running back once they make it to the league. But he does want to do it. He's a physical guy. Like, he's not somebody that is shying away from contact anywhere on a football field. So I think you do have to bank on the fact that he's going to be more healthy. And he did split carries some more this year and sit out a couple games with Darrell Williams. So we'll see. I think, you know, I'm banking on the fact of him being an excellent pro. Now, the one thing you can say about his style of running, and some other people have brought this up, which is a valid argument, is that he is so physical and sometimes welcomes contact, that sometimes you worry that a guy is going to sort of break down sooner rather than later. and have a shorter career. Now, I don't know. It's hard to project something like that, but that is a worry. But then again, you know, how many years do most of these running backs stay at a high level?
Right. I mean, that's my – I understand the injury concerns, and if it's a guy like – for example, like a Dominique Easley, who's just hurt all the time in college, then I get knocking him for that. But all these guys have to stay healthy. You know, right. All these guys have to stay healthy if they're going to be anything in the league, and whether they have an injury history or don't have an injury history, unless they're one of those guys that's just cursed, like an Easley, then I just usually don't put too much stock in that. I would just like to see guys pick a hole, hit a hole, burst through it a little bit better than he does sometimes. This is why I only knock really on him as a runner. But this next guy, the reason why it's a knock is because this next guy is like one of my favorite guys in the draft, and he's a guy that hits the hole with elite burst and acceleration, and that's Ronald Jones from USC. Wow. Who is like basically everyone wants to compare him to Jamal Charles. I hate making those types of comparisons when it's like to a, you know, a guy as good as Jamal Charles was, you know, an all-pro, like, not really fair, but he definitely has some of that in him, and he makes some insane cuts, some insane lateral cuts, and he also has the ability to burst and run people over too. He's a really complete back in my mind, just in terms of running the football. What are your thoughts on him?
I love him. I mean, I don't know how you can't watch that guy and really enjoy watching him.
He's a monster.
It's like you said, like he, it's there's. He makes some lateral cuts, but it always feels like he's going forward. You know what I mean? He doesn't ever feel like he's slowing down when he cuts, and that's another really hard thing to see from a running back. You almost never see it, or any player when he's cutting. You almost never see them. You always almost see them sort of slow down, and it sort of, you know, grinds to a halt. But with Jones, when he's cutting, it's almost like he's still going forward.
And he moves from 0 to 100 real quick.
Real quick. and he's just one of those guys that really plays hard. You can tell he loves the game. And he's dangerous. You know, he gets into the open field and he's a dangerous runner. I can see him being a good receiver in the pros. I'm not sure how much. Did they use him a lot?
No. So that's one thing. I think that he's a capable receiver. I mean, he's obviously good in the open field. He's got all his tools to be a good receiver, but they didn't use him like that a lot at USC.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a workload thing and they were just kind of saving him to carry the ball, or because they had so many great receivers that they just threw the ball to those guys instead. You know, he played on two teams, and I know a lot about him because I lived out there, and I'm also a little biased because I lived out there, you know, because I saw this guy play live a bunch. But, you know, he was on two teams back-to-back years who had absolute studs at wide receiver. I mean, we're talking Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, Deontay Bryant. These types of guys are really good receivers that are going to be in the league for a while, in the NFL for a while, that is. But on the flip side of that, he ran behind a terrible offensive line for especially last year in terms of run blocking. They were very bad. It's one thing that people don't talk about a ton with Darnold either is that his offensive line was not good for most of his time at USC. So Jones was one of those guys that was just like he was always picking the right hole and he was going. Like out of all these running backs in this class, he might be the best at that. I mean, he's even better at that than Saquon Barkley is. You know, he doesn't dance at all. And when he does dance, it's for a reason. Like you said, it's for purposes, you know, and he's always moving. So, you know, I think that Jones is probably the best pure running back in this class. You know, just give him the ball and watch him go. But at the same time, he didn't get featured a lot in the running game. And then there are also some concerns about, you know, can he take a workload of being a workhorse running back and run the ball 250 times. Now, that's not something that the Patriots usually do with their running backs anyways, and it's kind of where the league is kind of going away from that a little bit, as it is too, you know, kind of going to more of running backs by committee when they can. So maybe that's not going to be as big of a problem for him as it would have been in the past. But, you know, he had the highest graded running back in the whole FBS last year by PFF, you know. So this guy is an absolute stud. I don't see him going in the first round, although I wouldn't be surprised if he did. But, you know, he's a high second round pick. He's a top 50 guy on my board, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it's just crazy to think that both Geis and Jones could be there when the Pats pick, even
very easily.
Very easily, and one of them could probably be there on the second pick the Pats have. So it's a little crazy to think because, I mean, the Pats will have a need there, especially with – I mean, Lewis is basically gone. I don't see them re-signing Lewis. So, right. I mean, they could get one of those. I can definitely see one of those two guys being somebody who could produce like Lewis right off the bat.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they have similar skill sets, and they're obviously both bigger. Geis more than Jones, but yeah, I mean, those are both really capable guys.
Yeah, I think that's so true. Is, you know, I didn't really think about it too much as a need, and then when they met with Sony Michel, who we'll get to in a second here, at the combine, I was like, okay, you know, maybe they think this is a bigger need than we did. And they had a lot of confirmed, you know, meetings with running backs, and it sounded like they were really paying attention to some of these running backs. But there's something to be said to having a guy that's young, that's cost controlled and under contract for at least 4 years. And, you know, if it's a first round pick, 5 years, maybe, you know, then to pay Deion Lewis $5.5 million a year for a couple years, you know, I mean, that's a cheaper deal. It's a cost controlled deal. It's a younger running back with less injury history, probably. You know, I think it makes a lot of sense, and especially for these two guys that we just named. I mean, those are two guys that are going to be factor backs for the teams that they play for.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting. And Jones, you know, I've obviously been gushing about him a little bit, but he's really good. And he doesn't have home run speed on the 40. He ran about a mid 4.6s, but when you watch him on tape, he does. You know, he can go, and he doesn't get caught from behind too often. And one thing that's really true about him is once he's moving in the open field, he is a freight train. You know, like, there's not a lot of guys. He's really fast and explosive, but there's just not a lot of guys that are going to stand in his way at that point. He kind of has a little bit of, you know, he's not as big as LeGarrette, but like when you remember when LeGarrette would like get up to top speed and guys would just run away, like it's kind of a little bit like that. You know, they're different styles, but with LeGarrette, I just would always remember like guys just being like, you know what, I'm going to make a business on this one and not try to tackle the 250-pound running back in the open field. A little bit of that with Ronald Jones too. All right. But this is a good time, I think, to talk about Sony Michel, because I think he's going to be right in this range.
Yeah.
The Patriots met with Michel. I was surprised to see that they met with Michel, but obviously they liked the guy to at least, you know, hold a meeting with him at the combine. You know, my issue with him, and I wanted to talk to you about this, is that it looks to me like he's best used in a zone blocking scheme where he can put his foot in the ground and go, you know, find a hole, cut, go. That's exactly what he did at Georgia, and that's why he was really effective there. So I do wonder if I worry about him in the Patriots system, man blocking scheme, you know, has to be a little bit more patient, has to be, you know, hit a specific hole instead of kind of, you know, prodding through a couple different options. You know, a lot of outside zone at Georgia, they would toss the ball out, he would run through a hole, and he'd be gone. That was kind of his thing.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. I think that he's not necessarily the back that I would sort of target for them, but you know, he might be one of these guys that did one thing in college well and can do other things. He just didn't get the chance, and it was just because he was in a certain offense. When I look at him, I see somebody who's got good, really good, like quickness. I've always liked his burst.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know his official height and weight. He's not a big guy. But, you know, I think he's somebody that could be effective really almost in any offense. But I agree, like, you know, he doesn't necessarily fit the mold of what they have. But, you know, then again, You know, a guy his size can be effective with what they do. Maybe the Patriots see in him something that they saw in maybe Deion Lewis or a back like that. They don't necessarily see his physical limitations as an issue here, but I like him. I think he can. I think he's one of those guys that can sort of be effective in almost any offense because he's just he's got a slippery feel to him. You know, when he gets the ball, he's got this way of slipping past tacklers, and before you know it, he's 15 yards down the field. I think he's a good back.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of him breaking off big runs on tape. A lot of 15 plus yards, 10 plus yard runs out of this guy, and he really accelerates quickly. He's a burst guy. You know, he puts his foot in the ground and he's off. I mean, that's kind of his thing. He didn't time as well in the combine as I think a lot of people expected. He only ran a 4.54, 4.21 20 yard shuttle. Didn't run at the three cone, but the 20 yard shuttle is pretty close to that. Three cone agility type stuff. And he wasn't, didn't time as freaky, I think, as people thought. But at the same time, I think when you turn on the tape, you kind of trust the tape more than what you saw it in Deion, in the spandex. He's got average build, just going back on that. He's 5'10", 215 pounds, which puts him right about at the league average for a running back. So, I really like him. And one thing that I think a lot of people expect in the NFL that he didn't really do as much in college is catching the ball out of the backfield. I think he can be a receiver. He can do stuff like that. It's just really tough with a lot of these running backs. It's really true with so many of them is that in college they run so much zone. They run so much inside and outside zone running schemes, a lot of RPO actions with their quarterbacks and stuff like that in the college level. So sometimes with these guys, you have to project, is this guy going to work in a pro style system? Is this guy going to work in a man blocking system? Michelle's, one of those dudes, but I agree. I think his talent will be good enough to transcend that. All right. Let's move on to this next guy here who is kind of flying under the radar, and I kind of think that he might be like this year's Kareem Hunt, and that's Rashad Penny out of San Diego State, who is just put up insane numbers last year in school, and really shows some great vision and elusiveness and breakaway speed, all three of those things, which is kind of amazing combination for a running back and exactly what you look for. Yet this guy sounds like he's going to be there on day two.
Yeah, it's crazy because all the guy does is produce, really. And
yeah,
when you watch him in college, he looks like a big dude. He tested out at 5'11", 220. And so, the thing that I like about him is his speed is way better than he looks. He looks like sort of like a big dude when you look at him. In pads, but he separates from guys in the secondary. He's a powerful runner. He's another guy that's not gonna dance a lot when he gets the ball. He's gonna get the ball and he's gonna come downhill, and that's kind of what San Diego State did or does a lot. They just sort of run the ball and they do I formation. They get under center and they're sort of an old school team that way. But I really love what he brings to the table. He can play special teams. he's just a physical runner, and he's also somebody that can get outside and hurt you with a big run. I like him a lot, especially, did he run for 2,000 yards? He ran something close to it, right?
He was real close. I don't think he hit 2,000, but I think he was at high 1,800s or something.
Yeah, and he ran well against good teams.
He's damn good.
I think had there been, five Heisman choices, I would have put him in the top five. He was that exceptional.
Yeah.
But since they only give you three choices, I didn't have. But he produces, and I think his game translates well to the next level. So why he sort of isn't showing up on some of these mocks early, I don't know. Maybe it's just because people think there's not going to be that many running backs taken early. But I think he's in the same category as some of these guys we've already mentioned.
Yeah, I agree. You know, when I said off the top that there's like six or seven guys in the top 100, he was definitely one of those six that I would circle. This guy, I mean, the stats are just insane. He forced 80 missed tackles last year, which leads this class by a lot. Third most rushes of 15 plus yards last year. So he's got that breakaway speed. And there's some runs where you watch him pull away from defenders where it looks like he's on fast forward and everybody else is, you know, at regular speed. He ran a 4.46, which is just insane for how big he is.
Yeah.
I mean, he is an absolute specimen. I can't believe it. He's going to be a steal. He's going to be a flat out steal. And you could look at this in a year from now, and like we could be talking about how Rashad Penny was rookie of the year, offensive player of the year, and I wouldn't be surprised at all. No. You know, and I wouldn't be surprised one bit. He kind of also runs like a little bit like a pinball at times, which I like. You know, he kind of just bounces off guys, and he has really great vision inside the tackles, like really great vision to see little, you know, openings in the interior and navigate traffic. There's a lot of runs where I saw him just have a guy right in his lap, you know, offensive lineman, a pulling guard or something like that is right in front of him, and he has the patience and the vision to be able to feel that out and wait for the openings to happen. That's the type of stuff that happens in the NFL. That's like why I was saying about the zone schemes, what makes me worry about those types of guys is that they often have a ton of space to work with where there's no traffic, there's nobody in their way. They're getting the ball on the outside, even in inside zone. They're getting the ball on some stretch play or something like that that's cutting back into the inside, and there's just not a lot of traffic. Rashad Penny is a guy that runs right through all the traffic.
Right.
And that's like really enticing to me. The other thing is, you know, the cons that I wrote down when I was watching him, he runs a little bit upright. He stands a little bit tall when he runs. And the biggest thing is that he can't pass block right now. He's not a good pass blocker. He had a very bad pass blocking grade. I think it was 37 out of 100 from Pro Football Focus or something like that last year. So he is not a good pass blocker. That's going to be an issue for him to get on the field day one. And I know Patriots fans, when they hear that, they're like, oh, that's it. He's not going to play as a rookie if the Patriots draft him, because that's like kind of one of Bill Belichick's biggest things is, you know, this guy's got to be able to pass block. So that's going to be a big question for him at the next level. But in terms of just a pure runner, I think he's the best in this class, maybe. Just, you know, give him the ball, watch him go, because he's going to make some guys miss, and he's also going to run right by some people. He does it all. He does it all well as a ball carrier. So, like I said, I would not be surprised if we come back to this a year from now and he was Offensive Rookie of the Year, because I think he's just that good. All right, let's move on to the next one here, who is a guy that when I watched him on tape, I was like, this guy has some highlight reel
play. Yeah.
Like, this guy is just awesome to watch, and like, I hope he makes it in the NFL. Nyheim Hines from NC State is who we're talking about, and you go and turn on this tape, and like, it kind of looks like Chris Johnson almost is the kind of the guy that I thought of. He didn't run quite as fast as Chris Johnson did at the combine, but he still won the 40 for running backs. 4.38 is pretty damn fast. I mean, it's not 4.2 speed like Chris Johnson, but this is a guy that just like, you give him the ball and he's going to go 60 yards to the house every once in a while. You know, he's a threat to take it to the house on every single play.
Yeah, I like him a lot. He's also, you know, I wouldn't say, you know, he's the biggest guy out there. I mean, obviously he's 5'8", he measured in at 5'8", 198. So
he measured in better than I thought he would, bigger than I thought he would, but he's definitely small.
Yeah. But still, I mean, you can get away with that. Look at Deion Lewis, right? So, yeah. So I mean, this guy's explosive. You can use him in a variety of ways. You know, anytime you got a speed guy like that, he's going to be useful, and he knows how to run. It's not like he's just a track guy type speed. You know, I feel like sometimes he runs the same way, you know, any great space guy does, where if there's space on the field, he'll find it, you know, and he'll be able to get there in top end speed. So, you know, I think his vision is elite. I think his speed's elite. You know, he's not the same type of back as these other guys, right? So, no. but he's obviously somebody who can make things happen. You can use him in a variety of ways. I'd be curious to see how much they would use him as a receiver.
Yes.
And I think that would be one of his strengths. So yeah, I think if they were lucky enough to get him, then, you know, he'd definitely be somebody that they could use and somebody that could really do well for them.
Yeah, so that's a big thing with him too, is two things. One is he played wide receiver in college a little bit. So his first 2 years in college, he was playing wide out slot receiver, actually. And if you watch the tape his senior season when he played more running back, he really showed some wide receiver skills when they would flex him out. And I think that makes him a really interesting, you know, weapon for whoever, you know, gets him in the draft, because he has those receiver skills. I mean, there's moves where he just takes linebackers or safeties on double moves out of the slot. And I mean, you can't touch him. So it's, he's going to run right by people. The other thing is that he contributes on special teams. He can return kicks, he can return punts, he can do both of those things for you. So that makes him, that gives him some value in terms of what he can do as a rookie and trying to get him on the roster right away. You know, I don't know if he would necessarily come in and have the biggest impact as a running back. You know, I'm sure that they would give him the ball some and try to get him to hit some home runs early on in his career. But it's going to take some time, I think, for him to develop a little bit better feel for the position, for him to be like this, a number one back, if real factor back on the ground, just because he made that switch and he's not necessarily a natural running back in terms of his playing style. But I really like him because I think that he can make the team because of his versatility, be able to do some stuff for you on special teams, use that speed to return kicks and stuff like that, and then also play some receiver. And also, you know, the Patriots haven't really had a running back in a while that's like a house call guy, a guy that they can give the ball to, and he could break off a 60-yard run like that. Like LeGarrette was like kind of like that, but obviously did it in a very different way than this guy does it. And yeah, they haven't had a 4.38 speed type guy at running back, you know, maybe ever in the Bill Belichick era that I can think of. They usually don't go for those types of guys, but they did meet with Hines at the combine. Then he went out and had a really good workout. So I wouldn't necessarily rule him out of all these possibilities. And he's a guy that I think that you could probably get in like the fourth or fifth round. And, we're talking to these next couple guys here. We're talking are later in the draft, you know, day two, late day two, day three type guys. Hines is one of those type of guys. Obviously when you get down in the draft, all these draft prospects have some flaws, obviously, but when you get down to this point, you know, we're talking about projection, right? You know, we're talking about these guys could be good, not necessarily guys that might make so much of an immediate impact, but Hines, I think, could make an immediate impact because of his versatility. All right, let's do this last one here. Chase Edmonds, who is a small school guy from Fordham, who absolutely lit up the Patriot League. Like, this guy is like the LaDainian Tomlinson of the Patriot League. He had 2,000 yards, nearly 2,000 yards in back-to-back seasons, had nearly 20 TDs in back-to-back seasons, was the 2015 Patriot League Player of the Year. And then he came to the combine and he nailed his workout. So he proved that he's an NFL athlete, even though he's playing at a smaller division. And the number one thing, that three cone, right? Yeah. You know, you look at the three cone and you're like, all right, 93rd percentile in the 20-yard shuttle, 90th percentile in the three cone. So this is a lateral machine. He reminds me a ton of James White.
Yeah, he does. That three cone was very good. Was it the best among running backs? It was close to it, right?
It was up to, I think it might have been the best, yes.
So, if you're looking at guys, you know, a Northeast guy who is a bit under the radar, who has a great three cone drill, okay, you're talking about very Patriots stuff here.
Yeah, 6.79 in the three cone, which is lightning quick.
Yeah, it's very quick. And that shows up on film, too. I mean,
yeah.
you know, even you know, he didn't play a lot of games against like a like an FBS. There's some film on him against Army from this year.
Yeah,
which wasn't great, but still, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he's not tall, but he's 205 pounds, so he carries, you know, a good you know, frame to him. I like him. You know, I feel like he's good at making guys miss. He's got good body control. I feel like he's always in control of where he's going. He's not, you know, running, you know, past where his body should be, if that makes any sense. Like, he's not tripping over himself, but going as fast as he can. I think he's just somebody who can make guys miss. Who knows where he's going, knows what to do when he has the football. He's got pretty decent vision. And I just like what he brings to the table. And I think he's somebody who the Pats could potentially use. Now, I'm not totally sold on all of his pass blocking like a lot of these guys. There are a couple instances where I watch film where he's sort of missing guys and, you know, letting guys through that he shouldn't. But, you know, overall, if you're going to draft a running back sort of in the later rounds, you know, even – you know, I don't know how far he's going to fall, like fifth, sixth round, something like that. He's definitely somebody that is worth taking.
Yeah, I mean, you can't deny the production, right? Like, I know it's not, you know, the SEC or something like that he's doing it in, but you put up almost 4,000 yards combined in two seasons in college. Like, you're doing something right.
Right.
So, you know, he's a huge production guy, started a lot of games at Fordham. And also, you know, he has a lot, like I said earlier, a lot of James White to his game. He's got the lateral cuts. He's slippery, very, very quick, you know, kind of in a phone booth, you know, he's going to get out of there type of guy. And the one question that I really have with him in terms of running the football is he going to be able to run through NFL contact? You know, that was the big thing with James White, too. It's like, can he... you know, take that next step and be able to be a runner that has the strength, that has the ability to not just run through guys at Fordham, but run through guys at the NFL level. So that's going to be a big question mark with him. Pass blocking also would be a big question mark with him. But you could do a lot worse for a day three guy and a guy that you know is going to, you know, had production in college, had experience in college, 4-year starter type experience. So, you know, he's a guy that is kind of a product. I mean, I don't know if he'd go much higher in other years necessarily, but he's kind of a product of a really deep class that he's going this far down in the draft, in my opinion. You know, I don't know if he would have gone that much higher in other years, but this is just such a stacked class that you might be able to get Edmonds in like the 7th round or something like that. And if you're looking at that, then I think that you could do a whole lot worse. Will he be on the field as a rookie? I don't know. That remains to be seen. You know, it was tough for a lot of guys in on the Patriots to get on the field as a rookie. Really, the only guy that had serious production his rookie year was Lawrence Maroney, and we all know how that turned out in the end. So
right.
I don't know if that's really the best gauge, but, like, you know, guys like Steven Ridley, Shane Vereen, they didn't really have that immediate you know, impact or that, you know, that trust of the coaching staff to run the ball 150 times as a rookie.
Right.
So I don't know if you'll see that from Edmonds or Hines, really, out of the last two guys that we've talked about, but both guys were really impressive tape. I had a lot of fun watching Edmonds too, because he's a jump cut machine.
Right.
You know, he's going to make some guys look silly. All right. I think we covered this pretty well. Is there any guy that we didn't talk about that you wanted to hit on?
One guy that I like a lot that will probably be there somewhere is Kerryon Johnson.
Yeah.
From Auburn. He obviously got injured towards the end of last season, but you know, he'll be back. I love him. He's somebody that is very fast, somebody that is built like, you know, you want an NFL running back to be built like. I think he's, you know, whenever I saw him play in college, he always seemed to make an impact. you know, I'm not sure how he'd contribute to special teams or anything like that. But I just think, you know, and I also think that the Patriots have a pretty good relationship with the Auburn staff, so they pretty much know what they're getting out of him. I like him a lot. I don't know exactly what where he stands on the Patriots board, but he's somebody that every time I saw him in college, I was impressed, especially, I mean, he was when he was healthy. And so I think he'd be a great addition. I think he's also somebody that would be there in the middle rounds.
Yeah, I was surprised, you know, just based off of the college season that he was so low once draft season started. Because, he was, basically the focal point of their entire offense at Auburn. You know, their offense ran with him. You know, he was the guy. And he didn't disappoint. I mean, he in that game against Georgia, he was amazing. I mean, he's on the field, or not, you know, literally on the field with, but he's got in a game with Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel, who are, you know, two guys that people are talking about as first-round picks potentially, and he was the best running back out of the three in that game. So there's something to be said for stuff like that. You know, the way that he played in college was really, really good. I agree. I think that he could be a potential steal too. The guy that I wanted to highlight was Kalen Ballage from Arizona State, who kind of is a similar boat, not, you know, as big of a school as Auburn, obviously, but a guy that I think could really be a better pro running back than a college running back because of his vision and feel. And also he's got size. I mean, he's a big dude at 6'1", 230 pounds, long arms, you know, looking at these percentiles on mock draftable, I mean, he's at 80 plus percentile in all of the measurement, you know, type stuff. And then he also ran a 4.46. So, you know, you combine those things and you kind of maybe this guy's a little bit of a sleeper. You know, he rattled off some impressive cutback runs in college where he just cut back across the entire field and he's juking guys and he's seeing openings and finding them and stuff like that. But both good guys, I think, Kerryon Johnson and Kalen Ballage to end it on, because I think either one of those guys could make a team very, very happy. But all right, so let's get out of here. We'll be back next week. We're going to preview the wide receivers next week, and we're going to continue with this skill position theme off the top here. And, you know, wide receiver is a position where I had just looked at it a little bit yesterday for the Patriots. They do not have a lot of guys on the roster under contract after next season at the wide receiver position. It's Julian Edelman and Malcolm Mitchell, and that's it. Chris Hogan, Brandon Cooks, Kenny Britt, all those guys are free agents, and then Edelman and Mitchell are free agents after that, and after 2019. So the future of the wide receiver position is definitely up in the air right now, especially if they're going to have to pay Brandon Cooks a shit ton of money, which it sounds like they're going to. So, you know, it could be a position that they look at in the draft. It could be a position they look at in free agency. So we're going to take a look at that. I'm sure that we're going to talk a lot about Trey Quinn and some of the slot receivers too. So be ready for that. We're also going to do something free agency related if the Patriots do make a big, you know, type splash move or something like that. We'll recap free agency somehow as well. So we'll look at that as well. But we'll be back next week with those two things. Go listen to our podcast with Mark last week about quarterbacks. We'll do wide receivers next week. But for Adam Kirchin, I'm Evan Lazar. Thanks for listening.